This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Welcome to Shift Talking, a podcast where we explore the art and science of behavior change. I'm your host, Davina Hain, a mental health coach and founder of A Steady Space. Join me as we discuss actionable tips, inspiring stories, and expert insights to help you create lasting change once and for all. Now, let's get to the shift talking. Ah, we made it to episode 3. It's so exciting. So happy you're here joining me. I'm so happy you are back. No matter how long it took in between episodes 1 and 2 to get to 3, no matter what, everything is progress, and I am so grateful that you've joined me. Today, we are going into the H in our shift, which is healing. Healing from the bullshit. And the only way out is through. And I'm so, so excited to go into today's episode about healing, what it is, what it isn't, and also some techniques and strategies that we can use in order to get to that point. So first of all, emotional healing is fundamental to behavior change, especially for those of us who are dealing with past trauma or unresolved emotional issues. There was some research done in 2014 by Van der Kolk in The Body Keeps the Score. And this is, if for those of you who aren't familiar, this is a book that basically helps us understand how our body stores trauma, whether we recognize it or not. And it goes into how trauma affects the body and mind, emphasizing the need for emotional healing to break the cycle of trauma and foster positive behavior change. So when I refer to trauma, here and always, it is not necessarily about what happened to us. It's not that, you know, if you experience this experience, then that qualifies and other things don't. You'll sometimes hear phrasing around like big T trauma versus little T trauma, which is also like, it helps us understand like the bigs from the littles, right? Like what was massive versus what was less. When I'm talking about trauma here in the context of this podcast and of the work that I do, I am referring to any experience we have that overwhelms our ability to cope with it. So when we're talking about healing from the bullshit is also encompassing these traumas. It's also encompassing healing from past behaviors, past wounds. It's in so many ways also pulling in that version of the self from the first, right? Like the S in our shift and episode 2. So this is really, one, I want to lay this out so that we know exactly what we're working with. And also recognize that healing is also making repairs. Interpersonally between us and others and intrapersonally within ourselves. I want to go into a few different tools, strategies, practices that are typically used within the context of healing. So the first and my absolute favorite is going to be mindfulness practices. They've been shown to facilitate emotional healing and contribute to behavior change. Kabat-Zinn in 2003 demonstrates that mindfulness-based stress reduction can significantly reduce symptoms of anxiety, depression, and stress, which are often barriers to behavior change. If I'm too anxious thinking about the future and the what ifs, or too depressive thinking about the past and what was, and too stressed about the present moment in order to be present in it, I am not going to be able to be mindful and self-aware enough in order to implement change, in order to try something new and different that will help me get to where I go, in order to give myself enough room to hold compassion for myself in order to believe that I'm capable of this level of behavior change. Mindfulness helps individuals become more aware of their thoughts and emotions, fostering a non-judgmental acceptance that is crucial for healing. So in order to heal, right, we need some level of emotional regulation, which basically means helping my body get to a point of stability, steady, balance, neutrality, calm, whatever kind of language you want to use for that, right? Regulated. Because we so easily get dysregulated constantly based on all of the various stimuli that we experience on a day-to-day basis. So we need effective coping strategies in order to get to that point. Lazarus and Folkman in 1984 did research on stress and coping. And what they found was that individuals who develop adaptive coping mechanisms are better able to manage stress and emotional challenges, facilitating long-term behavior change. A lot of what I'm going to go through in here, especially when it's research, is going to be more distant, right? It's going to be older research because I love going into the fact that we have known these things for literal decades. And many of us are likely hearing these things for the first time, just as I did not that much longer before you did. And within this is going to be a lot of like, oh yeah, no shit. And even if we didn't know it already, it's going to trigger that part of like, oh man, like how didn't I know that? Like that does seem like a very no shit thing that I can recognize that I likely knew at some point, but didn't fully absorb and keep present in mind. With regard to healing, self-compassion, which of course is involving being kind to oneself during times of suffering, is crucial. Neff, in 2003, found that self-compassion is associated with lower levels of anxiety and depression and higher levels of well-being. This emotional support enables us to engage in positive behavior change without being hindered by self-criticism and negative self-talk. Right? So within the S being becoming self-aware, between the S and the H is where so much of this healing will occur. And then, of course, branching off into the I, which is our next segment, which will go into innovation, the tools and strategies that we use, right? So all of this is interconnected. And we have to start, again, building this framework for everything else to build on top of. So within this study, right, what we see is that without our ability to be open with ourselves and hold compassion, we will sit within these cycles of negative self-talk, and eventually we are going to feel emotionally crippled by this level of self-criticism. And as a bit of a sidebar, before I really started doing so much of this work, I had been making cupcakes for my son's birthday. And I'm not a baker. I am not a chef. I'm not a cook. I'm not a pastry chef. This is what I do. But I used to hold ridiculous expectations for myself. So I baked this whole baby shark cake down to the fondant and all of this. And then I was making, it was an all sharks theme. So he wanted baby shark and also like ferocious sharks from the ocean. So everything was shark themed. And I wanted to do a really good job for my son, of course. So the cake came out okay. Fondant was cracking. It was dry. You know, it was my very first time ever making a fondant. And there was that part that like looked like an acid trip kind of baby shark cake. And that was okay. And I was making these cupcakes that were meant to look like waves in the ocean. And I just couldn't get it right. I used too much dye that, you know, I didn't refrigerate it long enough, all of this stuff. And I was just shitting on myself audibly. So my children could hear me, and I didn't realize that they were listening, but also I wasn't self-aware enough to recognize the position that I was taking in space and time. I didn't even notice my kids were listening to me do this. And it wasn't until later, when all was said and done, the party went beautifully, I was stressed out and sweating the whole time, I barely got any time, that my husband pulled me aside, and he said, "Hey, so everything went so great. Look at him. He's so happy. He had such a great time today. And I know how much you care about giving them really good experiences. And I'm so proud of you. And I'm like, I'm just so grateful that you did all of this for him. And you were really mean to yourself earlier today. And not only that, because it was bad on you and for you, but the boys saw it. And I don't want them to absorb that same kind of talk." He said something along the lines of, we both have had enough of that, and it ends with us. And it was one of those days that really I look back on and I remember that being the day that I said, it stops here. I'm done with that. It was a beautiful day. He had a fantastic time. And I didn't get to experience it with him. And he didn't get to have a present mother while he was experiencing it, because I was too worried about the frosting that everyone was going to just eat anyway didn't look professional enough. When I sat within that self-criticism and that negative self-talk, it robbed me of joy. I robbed myself of joy on not only my son's birthday, but the anniversary of my birthing day. That's supposed to be a celebration. And I had to heal that part of me. I had to recognize what it was that was driving this, which of course was wanting my son to have this really great day, me wanting to meet this expectation that I wasn't sure if I could. You know, we could go on for days. At the end of it though, I recognized what I was looking to achieve. I also recognized that the way that I went about it did not benefit me. It harmed me and potentially harmed them. I was compassionate with myself, and I chose to forgive myself and heal from that experience and, of course, the literal countless other times I had done that to myself in my 30-plus years of existence. I cannot stress enough to you how important it is that you stop shitting on yourself. You stop saying self-deprecating things out loud. You stop thinking the self-deprecating thing. You stop joking about yourself before other people have the opportunity to say it. Just to show that you're already aware that you have these issues and like, I'm just trying to play it cool. I know what that's like. And while we can, you know, we can categorize it as a joke, we can do all of these things, no matter what, your brain hears everything you say. And if you aren't enough of a reason for you to stop doing this to yourself, then if you are a parent, I hope your children will be enough. Because I needed all of this. I needed that shame, that guilt to trigger something in me that said enough is enough. And this shit ends with me. Getting rid of self-criticism and negative self-talk is not a simple task, but, and, we just start doing small things often. So when I say I'm not good enough, I recognize what I'm saying, why I'm saying it. I don't just like push it out and be like, don't think like that. That doesn't help anybody. It's that let it go shit that like just infuriates me, because it doesn't actually help. What we do instead is when I say to myself out loud or internally that I am not good enough, when you say you are not good enough, you acknowledge the fear. You acknowledge the root of why I'm saying that. I am fearful I won't reach my goals. I am fearful I will exist within perpetual loneliness. I am fearful I will suffer. I am fearful I will mess up. I am fearful whatever. You acknowledge the root cause of that language. And or you recognize that those words weren't even yours to begin with. They were ones somebody said to you, somebody important likely said to you, and it stuck with you and you adopted that as fact. You acknowledge it. You thank that part of you for attempting to keep you safe. You thank that part of you for recognizing that patterns and what is predictable is safe, and I get it, and you recognize also that that is keeping you actively unsafe. You say thank you and no thank you. Instead of saying, I am not enough, and then going to the toxic positivity side of like, I am everything, I am flawless, we acknowledge it within a positive neutral, which is, I am doing my best. I am working toward X. I am working to be good enough. I am good enough as I am. We just find and replace that initial self-talk. And if you do this often enough, it will become common. When you do this often enough, it will become comfortable. And then eventually it will be automatic. The finding is likely going to be there for quite some time. I still find mine often. They're way less often, and I am so much quicker to recognize it and replace it with something better. And guess what? It's also something that's accurate. It's more accurate than this bullshit you tell yourself. The way that you are mean to yourself and bully yourself. This other side is way more truthfully, logically, rationally, factually accurate. And that's what we are going for. Okay, so getting back to the research. Cohen and Wills in 1985 recognized that social support plays a significant role in emotional healing and behavior change. Their studies showed that social support buffers against the adverse effects of stress and promotes psychological well-being. That having a supportive network can encourage individuals to pursue and maintain positive behavior changes. So this can be summed up in like, you are the company you keep, this kind of thing. And it's also leaning into your supports. People who have similar goals, even if the goals themselves aren't the same, but the aspirations are, right? Like, I'm wanting to move forward. I want to evolve. I want to heal. I want to just not suffer anymore. I'm ready to get out of this survival mode into some level of living, and then I am ready to fucking thrive. And that's what this is. It's leaning into your community. If you don't have one, you have one here. Join me here. This is the point. You don't have to invest a single cent into it in order to tune into this podcast as often as you'd like and be with me in this community. Engage within it. You can comment within it. You can leave a review. You can DM me on any of my social platforms. You can even text me directly by finding my number in the bio. Like, right? Like, there's so much that you can do here. And you don't have to do this alone. If the people around you just suck, they suck. And that's okay. Come in with us. Come join this community. And I'm telling you, you will feel empowered and enriched and supported and seen. That is my ultimate goal. And I want to guarantee you that you will make one connection. One connection is all that it takes. And if that connection is me at first before you find someone else within the community who aligns, great. That's the point. That's what I want for you. When we're doing this work, we have to focus on forgiveness. In every aspect of the shift framework, in likely every day you exist, there has to be some level of forgiveness that you show yourself, period, and then others. Worthington in 2007 found that forgiveness interventions can reduce emotional distress and promote psychological well-being. Forgiving oneself and others can help individuals let go of past grievances and focus on positive behavior change. The reason I share these things is because these studies collectively underscore the importance of emotional healing in facilitating behavior change. By addressing and resolving past traumas, past wounds, past mistakes, developing effective coping strategies, fostering self-compassion, and seeking social support, we can enhance our emotional well-being and create a solid foundation for lasting behavior change. You are more than capable. You also have to be willing. Research has shown us some of the most effective ways to heal, and I want to go through some of these with you. Not in detail, I'm more so just going to list them out. If you want me to go into detail on any one of these further, absolutely let me know. I'm more than happy to create some content around this for you. So we have mindfulness-based interventions, cognitive behavioral, acceptance and commitment, eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing. There's narrative therapy, there's somatic therapies and coaching, there's self-compassion practices, that social support and group therapy that we chatted about, art therapy and expressive arts. We have so many different ways of being able to go through these things. Some of these are absolutely going to be best experienced and should be experienced within qualified, licensed mental health providers. There's only so much that I can do with you here. I am not a licensed clinician, and intentionally so. And also, that means that there's a limit to my scope. And naturally so. I am not everything for everyone, nor would I ever position myself to be. This podcast is going to have guests and experts and all sorts of people on here to provide insights. I'm not an all-knowing oracle, right? That's not what's happening here. It's instead, I'm trying to find you a base, a place for home, a place for your soul's home to go when you feel chaotic and distressed and lost. I want to be that compass for you and with you. I want to be a point of security and stability for you. I want to help you find your steady here. Please remember, healing is not a one-time event. It's an ongoing process that requires patience and persistence. And by exploring the underlying reasons for our emotional struggles, adopting effective coping strategies, and establishing strong boundaries, you can create a solid foundation for lasting change, I promise you. Please also remember, healing is about self-compassion and resilience. It's about understanding your past, accepting it, and using that knowledge to build a healthier, more balanced future. A healthier, more balanced, well-rounded version of you that's up next. Thank you so much for joining me in our Healing from the Bullshit session. Remember, this is your empowerment, one shift at a time. I'll see you next time, and stay steady.